You know, for most of the stuff that I play, you probably think that I'm much older, but you know what? Most of you are probably way off, because I'm only 23 years old. Tune in to The Shakespeare Show between noon and 1 p.m. on Wednesdays. It's songs from before the 1920s to alternative stuff today, plus jokes and riddles, all sorts of fun stuff. Just put any of it on your iTunes if you need to. Pretty soon it'll be coming out on albums.
The Vancouver Queer Film Festival is back for its 26th year in theaters August 14 to 24. More than 80 films from 11 countries, including Russia, Brazil, Italy, and the Philippines, showcase themes of gender identity, forbidden love, and culture. Super Pass is available now and tickets on sale July 24. For tickets and more info, check out queerfilmfestival.ca. Support the festival. Donate $10 by texting GIVER10, spelled GIVER10, to 45678.
The Jalagas issue of Discorder is here. Be sure to pick up a copy around town or check it out online at discorder.ca and catch features on Pat Locke, Dirty Spells, Horses Records, The Beelines, and so much more. Also be sure to peep the Discorder playlist, now available through SoundCloud. And a very special thank you to this issue's advertisers, Audiopile Records, CCEC Credit Union, Catalano Street Party, LiveVan.com, the Ponderosa Festival, the Queer Arts Festival, the Rickshaw Theater, Rifflandia, the Media Club, Vancouver Fetish Weekend, Vancouver Fringe Festival, Vancouver Queer Film Festival, the Victory Square Block Party, and Vinyl Records.
My name is Natasha Raya Robot. Now I am playing with my breast to gain nothing to do, nothing to do. Sometimes I listen to Misery Hour with Hans Close Wednesday at 11 before midnight. I don't think I like it.
You're listening to Sexy in Van City Radio 101.9 FM on CITR. Welcome to Sexy in Van City Radio 101.9 FM on CITR. Very, very, very beautiful night out there tonight. It's pretty warm, which considering it started out today as kind of a chilly day, it's kind of nice that it got really hot this afternoon, and then it's staying hot this evening as well. So for those of you who are at home, perhaps listening in, perhaps thinking that it's a really hot night, it might be really hard to go to sleep, I hope you stay tuned and enjoy this hour. Tonight we're going to be having a conversation about reconnecting with the body. A lot of us disconnect with our bodies in so many different ways, whether it's because of social media or just our world in this day and age compared to 100 years ago. We're not as connected as we used to be to our bodies. And it affects our relationships. It affects both our relational and sexual health. So there are things that we can do. There are things that we know we should be doing, we could be doing, you know, but we don't do. And I guess the question is why? And why don't we offer things to ourselves that are important? It would give us that longevity. It gives us that wonderful sense of sexuality and that intimacy with a partner. And that's a question I ponder sometimes because I'm guilty about it as well as anybody else is in regards to not doing the things that we know we should do to make ourselves whole. Because if we take care of ourselves, then we can take care of others. And we've heard that a gazillion and one times where, you know, you do unto others as you would do unto yourself. And a lot of us forget about the self piece, which is really, really key. Perhaps it comes down to, why do we disconnect with our bodies in the first place? Because if we go back into history and we look at Ayurvedic medicine, which has been around for over 5,000 years, or Chinese medicine, which has been around for about 4,000 years, it really looks at a complete whole view of medicine where it's body, mind, and spirit. And from that, Tantra, which is a really beautiful way to connect body, mind, and spirit, is derived from. Sometimes we think of Tantra as something that's just about sexuality. But it's so much more than that. There's such richness to it. For those of you who may not know the history, there is the history in Chinese medicine, which I'm more familiar with in regards to the Yellow Emperor. Many of the emperors were dying early. They were expected to satisfy a minimum 9 women every night. They were supposed to have a first wife, several second wives, several third wives, and the numbers of each of those had to go with how many planets, how many constellations, etc. So it really had to do with balance and energy. But as well as that, I believe it was 81 concubines they had in addition. And these emperors were expected to satisfy 9 women each night. So needless to say, even though I'm sure they died happy, they also died young. And so the 3 wise women ended up educating the emperor in terms of what they call microcosmic breath, which is basically if you place your feet flat on the ground, or if you're lying in bed right now, just imagine feeling the earth directly underneath your feet or under your back, just feeling it along your back, the back of your head if you're lying down, along the backs of the legs, the backs of the shoulders, along the arms as well. And when you're really feeling that support from the earth, really connecting in a little deeper. And just imagine as if you've got straws at the bottoms of your feet. Imagine taking a nice deep breath and exhaling on a cleansing breath. On the inhale, imagine gently as if you're connecting with that beautiful gold energy of the earth and pulling that wonderful energy up right through along the inner thighs, right up to the sacrum and the perineum. Imagine just a nice deep inhale, pulling it up even deeper right along each vertebrae, by vertebrae, by vertebrae, by vertebrae, all the way up the spine, coming all the way up the neck, coming up to the back of the head. And eventually, let's try and do that all in one inhale. So from the very base of the feet, inhaling up, and exhaling down the front of the body, and then gently coming down the outer thighs. Inhaling, coming up the back of the body, exhaling at the front. Inhaling at the back of the body, and start to squeeze your perineum, just as if you've got another mouth there, and gently pulling that energy up, and exhaling at the front. This is what we call a microcosmic breath, where we've got this microcosmic orbit going around us. And with that, as that energy starts to flow, which is incredibly healthy, just lying there, feeling that energy coming up the back, exhaling down the front, really connecting with your body, feeling really, really whole. From there, just gently connecting directly above your head. And imagine through your chakra points, you've got your physical energy, your emotional and mental energy, and your spiritual energy. And in Chinese medicine, there's the belief that we've got all those energy fields around us. And by filling those up with healthy qi, it helps us feel healthy. A lot of times we've got a lot of what we call stagnant qi, where it's just stuck. And by being able to purge any stagnant qi, which qi, for those of you who may not be as familiar, is life force. So purging stagnant qi, balancing and tonifying using light and sound. And then just regulating. So we do that by, as we're filling up the body with that light, inhaling it up the back, exhaling through the front. Imagine from the crown chakra, this energy just starting to seep out of the body, but to fill up your physical force field, emotional, mental, and spiritual energies. So if coming up the crown chakra, through the third eye, through the throat chakra, through the heart, through the stomach, the solar plexus, the groin, and behind. And feeling that energy growing so bright, so strong, that you're gently full and nourished. And as you feel that full and abundancy, just feeling that gentle connection with your body, really check in with yourself and just seeing where you are right now. What do you need? And with that, sometimes the answers come right away. Sometimes they don't. But by filling up our cup, if you think of our body as a vessel, filling up our body, mind, and spirit with wonderful energy, wonderful life force, it enables us to take care of ourselves. It also enables us to take care of those around us because we have so much love and light just flowing from us. Literally, our cup is runneth over. But that's not necessarily a bad thing. That can be a really, really good thing to have that cup runneth over. We're able to do some things with people. We're able to keep ourselves nurtured and whole. So then that way we don't feel depleted. We don't feel that we're not able to give. At the end of the day, after we've had a day, our boundaries, hopefully, by doing this work, stay solid and strong. So we're able to come home, connect with those people that we love around us, and have intimate relationships with our partners. If you're single, being able to connect with people around you, and if you, in terms of whatever you choose for your sense of sexuality, whether you want casual encounters, whether you're looking for a long-term relationship or casual dating, being able to do it but from a full place where you're not feeling your boundaries being trampled on because you've got a really solid sense of self. So it really starts with filling up who you are. And there's many different ways of doing that. Like things like guided meditations, as I just gave you. Doing things like taking yoga classes, which are really great. Qigong, which is Chinese medicine. It's one of the four branches, which is one of the most amazing, incredible treatments ever. Doing other types of things, making sure that you're eating well. I know it sounds so obvious, but it's so important for us to eat well. And as well as you can afford to do, making sure that we're taking care of ourselves in terms of making sure we set goals in terms of our physical. So whether it's, say, going and working out every day, having a breath practice. So really staying connecting with our body, mind, and spirit. And we're also purging stagnant chi from our body so that our bodies stay healthy and whole and connected. So those things are really important. Other things as well as what do you need to do to stretch yourself? So whether or not it's doing dates with yourself every week, doing some important self-healing work such as journaling, making sure you're writing. If you're a creative, perhaps through art, making sure you express yourself where you're able to share, you're able to create, and you're able to put stuff out of your body that needs to be released. And being able to do that in a healthy way, whether it be through music, through dance, even going for a run. Sometimes that physical exertion just helps push all that stuff out of your body. However you need to do it, being able to do it in a healthy, holistic way is really, really key. Because in this world, things have evolved a lot. One of the most interesting things Wendy Lang, who's one of my mentors, mentioned was 100 years ago, we didn't have to make as many decisions as we do in a week here. And that's really difficult on our liver energy. Our liver, when we're feeling healthy, is where we store kindness and compassion. And when it's out of balance, the liver is where we store anger and frustration. So when we do things like having to make decisions, like things like having to decide what are we going to eat today, where in Vancouver, where we've got per capita, we've got more restaurants than anywhere else in North America. It's really hard on the liver, and especially Vancouver being such a foodie town where there's such a beautiful array of different types of food, different types of price points as well. It can be really challenging having to decide what to eat. Even on simple levels like that, taking the time to plan and balance things out, even making budgeting decisions in regards to what you're going to eat, so even planning it out up to 3 months in advance. There are some life coaches that actually do recommend that in regards to food because it's easier on your liver, it's less stress, it's kinder to your body, and by not making those decisions, having to decide at each time, it's easier on the body, where the body ends up not being at risk of having too much sugar, etc., because you can moderate what you're eating, making sure you're getting enough vitamins and nutrients. And it doesn't have to be boring. It can be actually quite good. And once you've got something super solid, it makes it easier to plan what you're going to eat, not just for yourself, but for your lover, for your kids, if you've got kids as well. And that way, they stay in balance as well. And by eating right, what you put into your body really makes a huge difference. I can remember when I was a kid, there used to be a Cheerios commercial on where it was like, and you basically used an example of a car filling it up. And if you don't fill up the car right, well, you're not going to have energy to get through your day. You're going to be like totally stuffing down coffee and not, you know, and not in a particularly healthy way. Caffeine addiction is one of the largest addictions we've got in North America. First one is smoking. Second is caffeine. Coming up there quite strong is pornography addiction as well. We try to disconnect, discombobulate, just disassociate from our bodies. And the question is why? Life is such a beautiful gift. Why do we do this to ourselves? And when we do this to ourselves, we're not being true to us. And if we're not being true to us, we don't have it in us to be true to a partner in the truest sense by giving our partner what they need, by making sure that our needs are met within a relationship. It comes down to self-care. It really does. So by eating right, making sure we take care of ourselves by planning what we're going to eat, it's really good for the liver. It's also really good for the heart, which in Chinese medicine, it is called the Shen, which is the original spirit. And the Shen, all it knows is love. And when something else comes up like anger, frustration, jealousy, it doesn't really know what to do. What makes the heart happy and whole is having really strong, healthy boundaries. And I know it may sound really strange saying things like food, planning what to eat is a way of making sure you protect your heart. But it really is by having those boundaries and just knowing exactly what you're doing by planning what you're going to eat for the next couple months can be really, really helpful. It's, of course, things may change, but it's really good on your pocketbook in terms of trying to save money. It can be really healthy for yourself because you know what vitamins and nutrients you're getting, and it's easier to eat healthier by planning those meals. It's also a really great way because once you've got that set, taking care of not just yourself, but those around you by having people over for a potluck and where you already know what you're going to be making because you've already decided for 3 months ago what you're going to be eating. It can be really, really, really helpful. And then from there, being able to take a look at other things that you need to do in your life. So checking in with yourself, making dates with yourself, or things that you really love to do. Things like perhaps going for walks, or maybe doing something really fun like going to the Playland or the Peony and really listening to some wonderful live music and just dancing, just letting your body just flow with the music and just really feel those sound vibrations just gently healing you. Whatever it is that really resonates with you, that makes you feel really good, really whole, it can be incredible. It can be an amazing thing. In terms of reconnecting with the body, the other things that you can do can be really fun. Doing things like taking classes, going to yoga classes, going to an aerobics class, going to a Zumba class. For guys and girls, playing team sports as well. Because not only does it give you that connection with your own body, it also gives you a sense of community around you as well. Dr. John Gray, who wrote the book Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, and his more recent book Venus on Fire, Mars on Ice, really recommended women going to yoga classes because of the fact it increased our oxytocin levels. For those of you who may not be familiar with oxytocin, oxytocin is that bliss hormone, the one that makes you fall in love with the baby as soon as you've given birth, if you set eyes on it. It's the one that makes you want to cuddle after sex and have conversation. For men, oxytocin is something that feels really good as well, but it affects the male body because of the balance with testosterone as well in a very different way. It actually sometimes, for some men, it knocks them out. It's why they sleep after sex. So it's very important in regards to making sure those hormonal levels are nourished. Because in this day and age, Dr. John Gray had mentioned, both on the show, because we were lucky enough to have him on, as well as in his work, that our cortisol levels are high. For those of you who are going, okay, what the heck is cortisol and what does that have to do with sex? Well, cortisol levels are our stress hormones. It's the one that kicks in where, say, an accident happens and we jump into our flight or fright syndrome where we just go, oh my gosh, I need to do something. Like you see an accident and it's your kid that's underneath a car. It gives you that Superman strength where you're able to just lift that car up and then be able to save that child. That is fueled by cortisol. These days, with everything going on where we're so tuned in from reality TV shows to our social media, being accessible and available all the time because of our cell phones, etc., it's really hard to disconnect. And sometimes we lose out on opportunities when we do choose to disconnect. It's a very intense thing. But with that, it also kicks up our cortisol levels, which is why it's really important to have a breath practice, because if our cortisol levels are super high, it's really hard to breathe. And if you can't breathe, it's really hard to connect to somebody and actually relax enough during sex where you're able to have a healthy orgasm. It becomes into genital friction where sometimes you have to just press so deeply and so hard, but not in a healthy way necessarily. It's just genital friction as opposed to really connecting with somebody and feeling that delicious intimacy with them. Cortisol levels also lead us to disconnect in different levels, such as being able to watch pornography, or watching violent movies on television, which sometimes kicks up our dopamine levels in our brain, which they kick up at such a high level, according to Tanya Diamond, who I've had on the show several times, who's one of my favorite tantra teachers from Seattle. What she says is it kicks up the dopamine levels so high that people aren't able to connect. And when they try in their relationships, they feel really empty. So that they keep reconnecting to internet porn as opposed to connecting to their partner. And they want to connect with their partner, but they, just because their cortisol levels are so high, they need to disconnect in a different way. So, of course, kicking up the dopamine levels. And unfortunately, in a relationship, it's really hard to get the dopamine levels up to that level again. And it makes people really, really, really sad. And with that, it's difficult if people are disconnecting in such a way. Tanya said that she'd heard from a lot of men who have dealt with pornography addiction, and with that, where they want to connect with their partners. And it's not just men who are using pornography as much. Internet porn has become so accessible. It's also leading us to disconnect to our bodies in other ways. So not just because of seeing pornography, but in terms of that, seeing different only certain body types when we look at pornography. Where when we look at pornography, sometimes we see it And we think our labia or our testicles need to be specific shape, certain color, certain amount of hair around them. And with that, we start getting self-conscious where we don't want people to see our bits. And with that, shame and stigma gets attached to that. In some cases, some people feel so sad about it and so disconnected. Things like anal bleaching are starting to pick up. Things like having labiaplasty, hymenoplasty in some cases as well, where women want to have their hymen put back in, which is I've heard rumors that there is a doctor who is doing that in White Rock, for especially in Muslim communities where many of the brides are supposed to be virgins when they get married. But as well in LA for a while, it was very popular where people were actually getting that in lieu of a present for a spouse, where they'd been together for a very long time, women doing it for the 25th wedding anniversary. Eve Ensler, who wrote the Vagina Monologues, and her follow-up play, The Good Body, talks about that as well. She's actually got a monologue in there where a woman is celebrating her 25th anniversary, and she gets a hymenoplasty because she wants her husband to want to have sex with her. And what ends up happening is they tighten her so much that her husband wants, you know, is taking Viagra so he can have sex with her because he's just totally into it. But what she really wanted out of all of it was really for her husband to actually take care and help her with her own pleasure. And she ended up not getting that, so she ended up feeling particularly isolated with that. Going full circle in regards to plastic surgery, there's a lot of different types of plastic surgery. Really check in with yourself and see, is this what I want to do? For some women, it really does, and men as well, it does make them feel very confident. But in other cases, when we look at Botox, cheek implants, breast implants, etc., sometimes people get addicted to that. And because they haven't done that inner work with themselves, it's like, when is enough enough? And with some of the surgeries, such as labiaplasty, in some cases they people lose sensation, which would be very heartbreaking, especially if it's because of wanting you choose to have an operation where you want it because you want to be able to reconnect with your body. You want to feel sexy. You want to feel good about who you are. It may not be the best thing. It would be really heartbreaking to find out that you lose sensation in your lips, in your labia, and it, or your clitoris even. It can be very heartbreaking. So in regards to that, if you choose to do plastic surgery, it's your decision, but really make sure you get a couple opinions and also check in with yourself as well. And if it's possible through different types of work, working with a therapist, perhaps for building self-esteem, perhaps that may be a better fit. There are other cases too where it might be an augment for breast surgery, for example, where perhaps someone has an A cup and a D cup, or through complications of illness, perhaps like breast cancer, where one breast is a single mastectomy or a double mastectomy, where sometimes people do choose to get breast implants after that because it makes them feel like themselves again, which I think is important as well. And being able to, as we change and move as forward as a society, being able to still stay connected with our original body as we work to strengthen and improve our other body, our physical body, it's really important. There are many, many, many reasons that people disconnect to their bodies. Sometimes it's because of childhood trauma. Some of those traumas may not necessarily be because of physical or sexual abuse. Perhaps it's because of having a childhood cancer or a childhood disease, where with that, having to get poked and prodded at the hospital, in our healthcare system, as a child, it feels like your body isn't really your own anymore, which is why it's so important in terms of consent. being able to have those conversations to create through movement, how to create safe spaces for people, how to really check in with yourself. What do you need? And sometimes if you've had that taken from you from such a long time ago, you don't really know what you need within your body. And from there, it's really hard sometimes to connect with somebody on a sexual level if you disconnect from your body. So it's very, very important to have a breath practice, to be eating healthy, to be doing physical fitness such as yoga class, etc., to being making sure that we're taking care of ourselves on a financial level as well. But perhaps what's most important is to communicate with yourself, making sure whether you're journaling, painting, dancing, singing, whatever way you need to connect with yourself, having those conversations with yourself. What do I need to make myself feel whole? Really having those conversations. But as well as that, what do I need to feel whole within a relationship? Because a lot of times with relationships, partner meets partner, they connect. It's this amazing, blissful honeymoon period. Getting to know each other, loving each other. And then from there, things shift sometimes. Sometimes we really get to see the full person. And sometimes they may not, the vision of them as we get to know them may not gel completely with what we had fallen in love with in our heads. And as that image starts to shatter, where we get to see the real person, the full person, and really fall into where it comes into almost like a deeper sense of love. It's sure the sex is still beautiful in some cases. It can be really rich. But as well as that, it's also very, very great way for people to feel good. It's important to have a breath practice. It's important to communicate with self, really asking yourself, what do I need? Being able to also listen to yourself when your body tells you that it needs certain things. It's important to listen. As well as that, it's important to have discipline as well in regards to really listening right to the root of things. Like, for example, say you don't feel like cooking dinner for your partner that night because you're really tired, which is a legitimate thing. We work really hard in our society. We're turned on all the time, but not necessarily in a good way. Sometimes our cortisol levels are just sky high. And with that, sometimes we need to have those conversations with our partner. How can we make life simpler? How can we make life easier? And sometimes we know the answers right away. Other times, maybe not. But it's important to have those conversations with self. Once we've had those conversations with self, we can start playing, having those conversations with our partner. What do we each need in this relationship to make it work? Sometimes we may not know, and that's okay too. Sometimes we may discover it with each other. And that can be really incredibly magical. Where each of you perhaps take a list about all the things that make you feel really good and you want to do. Not just sexual things, but perhaps it's going for a hike in Lynn Canyon. Perhaps it's doing the gross grind. Perhaps it's doing a yoga class at the beach. Or perhaps growing your own vegetables on your patio. And making a really delicious salad and taking it down to Jericho Beach or to Trout Lake Park and nourishing each other, having a yummy, simple pizza, whatever it is that makes you feel really good doing it once in a while. Checking in with yourself, what do you need? Checking with your partner as well, whether or not it's you choose to take each other on dates. Perhaps one week it's you choose to take your partner on a date. And you plan everything. The next time, they plan it for you. Perhaps you sit down and each of you come up with a whole bunch of date ideas where your partner pulls it out, making sure that it really varies in terms of financial. Maybe some really great ideas of doing things that don't have to cost a lot of money. It could be really, really great that way. Having lots of fun, making it feel really good. All those things are really, really key. There are a lot of things you can do with your partner as well. going for hikes, of course, Vancouver has a plethora of just really wonderful things that we can do. But as well as that, we can also do things like taking our acrobatic yoga classes where you get to practice perhaps holding your partner up, where it's not necessarily the smallest person on the top. It can be either way as you learn to trust and balance and hold each other. Acrobatic yoga can be a really great way from all the eye gazing, having to match your breath patterns because you need to, if you're the base, be able to breathe so then that way you can communicate with your flyer, which is the person on top. All that stuff is really important. Skills from that can not only just stay there, it can also feel really good where you can take that in the bedroom where one person leads, but it's your team, your two pieces of the pie, where together you create a whole. That is one of the most beautiful things. And so things like acrobatic yoga for many people, because sometimes we get letters into the show where it's, I really want to connect with my partner. We've been together for a long time. How do I do this? Well, doing things like acrobatic yoga is a great way to do that. And if your partner thinks that yoga is too wishy-washy or whatever, there's other things you can do. There's some wonderful places that offer some great workshops, both online if you feel shy, or and there's retreats as well. There's some wonderful sex coaches in Vancouver, such as Kim Inami, as an example. She's one of my favorites. I haven't had lovely Kimmy on the show for a long time, but she's got some great, great, great workshops, both for men, both for women, as well as some wonderful retreats during the year where you can go away and really connect with people. Tanya Diamond, who's just across the border as well, also does life coaching and does group coaching, as well as couples workshops in terms of tantra, using what she describes as neo-tantra, where it's more of a newer form of tantra, which is really incredibly beautiful. There are people like Davy Ward who are in town who did such incredible work as well. And Baljeet Riot from Lotus Destiny, who has some really wonderful goddess series work. And so does Alexina Mehta. So there's some really incredible opportunities for things too. There's also great jade egg workshops for those of you who are women who are listening, as well as for men, testicle breathing classes, which you can take whether you're single or in a couple. Those are really helpful. It also talks about that microcosmic breath that we talked about at the top of the show and being able to connect in with that microcosmic breath. But with that, also pulling that sexual energy out of the bones, and which is where it resides, and sending it right through the body where it starts to nourish all the organ chi. It keeps it flowing so it doesn't stay stagnated if you're not getting laid on a regular basis. It also, especially for teenagers, which is a really great time to start doing testicle breathing, or for the women, jade egg breathing, which, yes, you really do get a jade egg and insert it inside yourself. And there's so many different types of exercises to do. The lovely Minka DeVos, who is a Qigong master, as well as a Tao yoga practitioner and teacher. She teaches jade egg classes. And the jade egg is actually really, really, really good in terms of longevity. It's also really lovely in terms of warding against breast cancer, cervical cancer, and ovarian cancer. It's a very, very powerful practice. And it not only strengthens your Kegel muscles and the pelvic floor, which is great if you're planning to have children, but it's also really good in terms of for yourself to be able to connect in with your sense of sexuality. And in some cases, your orgasmic system as well, where you can feel super happy, super sexy, and really, really, really whole. There are some other resources in Vancouver as well in regards to the types of classes besides non-sexual ones such as yoga, etc. There's the Vancouver Burlesque School as well as Screaming Chicken Burlesque, where you can play with learning the art of striptease, where they have weekly classes. They have chair dancing as well. Screaming Chicken even has a class called Becoming Burlesque, which is a really, really, really cool class. It looks pretty neat. As well as that, there's some great places like Tantra Fitness, which you can learn the art of pole dancing, which is not always sexual, but can make you feel incredibly empowered and also really sexy. They also offer lots of lap dance workshops as well. So you can take something, some little homework home so you can provide your partner a really wonderful, sexy dance, which can be very, very beautiful. And for everybody there, they do have men's and women's classes there. Specifically for sex, the Art of Loving has been doing classes for years. They've got everything from how to give great head, where I've heard a rumor that they've finally evolved that workshop and you actually do practice putting on condoms on bananas. I don't know if that's fact or fiction, but if somebody wanted to call in and tell me if it is, that would be great. Other things is how to go down. So for guys, if you want to pick up, you know, improve your technique in terms of how to go down on girls, it's really lovely. There's also people like Chiron who offer workshops in terms of yoni, which it's a Sanskrit word, which I think is beautiful for our vagina or our vulva. And as well, the word lingam massage, which is the penis. And with that, it's really important to be able to do that work. There are videos now on YouTube as well sometimes that you can take a look at in regards to education about sexuality, about yoni and lingam massage, and being able to release things. Because in our skin, in our fascia underneath our skin, and the tissues that of muscle, fibers, etc., throughout our bodies hold things. They hold experiences. They hold emotion. They hold many, many things that sometimes those things may need to be released. So then that way you are able to connect on a whole strong level with your partner, with that person that you love. Or open yourself up so you can connect to somebody if you are single and you want to connect with somebody. It's a really beautiful way to do that by being able to release that. And through the yoni and lingam massage, you can learn how to do that for somebody else. You can also learn how to do it for yourself. Because it's very important to make sure that you're able to take care of yourself. So doing practices like testicle breathing, for women, the jade egg technique, but really making sure you're able to do that kind of work, which it's very, very important work, because by taking care of yourself, you enable yourself to take care of others. Other things that are important as well, of course, are things like communication. I know it sounds so obvious, and it's interesting because in this world where we've got so many different ways to communicate, sometimes it seems like so much is lost in the mist. Perhaps it's because we get 90% of our information from what we see and only 10% from what we hear. So if the picture doesn't match what we're hearing, we stop listening. And in terms of relationships, how does that affect? Well, if we stop listening, we stop seeing. Because sometimes familiarity, we don't see things anymore. It's really important to make sure we fill up. We start doing some workshops. So whether or not it's retreat work, we're able to just sit and really see your partner for who they are. Honor them. Do some incredible work with them just to let go and release. It's incredibly important to do. It's also really valuable work as well. In terms of doing that type of work, there's also some wonderful workbooks that you can get from Dr. Harville Hendricks, who wrote the book Receiving Love, as well as he also wrote How to Get the Love You Want. He's got some very, very interesting exercises in there, including listening exercises. He's also got some wonderful things for couples. He believes that we fall in love with people because of what he describes as the imago technique, where we are attracted to people who basically are there to help us heal our childhood traumas. And through our relationship, our job is to heal our partner or try to hold space to heal our partner. And they are supposed to help heal us, which sometimes can be pretty interesting and complicated, where we make stuff about the other person. But through that, it also opens us up to be able to receive and be able to take care of things, to take care of ourselves, take care of each other. There's some really wonderful things there. There's also, it's worth checking in to Dr. Gary Chapman's The Five Love Languages, or Five Languages of Love, rather. It's an oldie but a goodie, and I still highly recommend that book. It is one where, in case you're wondering what the heck are love languages if you're not familiar with it, well, we've got acts of service, such as, say, taking out the garbage, which could be a really beautiful one. I know for my partner, one of his is he really loves when I make him a meal. So even before I came to the radio show tonight, I stopped at home just to drop off some stuff from another appointment, and I made him dinner, just a very simple dinner, but he was really happy because it made him feel taken care of. For me, I'm very happy when he cleans the toilet, which he actually likes cleaning the bathroom, which is great, and I'm very, very glad. So that would be acts of service in terms of the love relationship. Words of acknowledgement is another one. Being able to still continue to tell our partner that we love them, telling them things that we like about them. So say their broad shoulders. We like the way their eyes crinkle up at the corners when they smile. Perhaps we really love something, like they're really, really good at doing something. Telling them that. Because I think in this world, they've done studies where for every complaint, it takes 5 compliments to make somebody feel better again. And as we stay in relationships, sometimes we get very comfortable and we take our partner for granted. So try with that eye-gazing work to really see your partner, making sure that you hug them, you hold space for them, and you honor them however they need to be honored. Some of the other ways, so we've got words of acknowledgement, we've got acts of service. We've also got gifts. So perhaps for some people, it could be really simple, like a really, really cute letter. It could be a flowers. Those are some of the obvious ones, but stuff that's more personal. So perhaps you went for, perhaps on your first date, you went for nachos. Maybe picking up a nachos or making it. And when they come home, having a picnic in the bedroom where you've kind of got everything planted, just making sure you don't eat too much before you have intercourse afterwards, because you want to make sure that you've been able to digest your food. Other things that are really important are making sure with your body that you honor, you love yourself, by doing things like making sure you spend quality time with yourself and spend quality time with your partner. So it's not just sitting there watching TV and vegging out, which that can be really nice sometimes, and especially when we need to disconnect because our cortisol levels are so high. But perhaps trying to come up with other ways of doing it. So instead of disconnecting that way, perhaps, you know, turning candles on, giving each other a gentle massage, with perhaps just really gentle oils, or picking up some of those massage bars from Lush, which are really inexpensive and can be really tasty as well, which is really good. Or perhaps from the Wild Women that we had on the show, Wise Women. They have some really great recipes on how to create massage oil, etc. So taking a look at some of those resources, making things like that, and having a really special quality time night. Other ways of quality time might be just going to going for a walk around, say, White Pine Lake in Coquitlam, and holding hands with your partner and just being really aware of them and just focusing on them, being really aware, just like you were the first time you held their hand, about just that touch, because physical touch is really key too. And feeling that tingling where you can feel your heart racing, just like perhaps the first time you held your partner's hand. taking that time through eye gazing to really hold space before gently kissing them. And feeling that kiss, feeling that wonderful energy through it, feeling that exchange. So just really revisiting some of those resources, what is important to you with your relationship, taking care of it, honoring it. For those of you who are perhaps single listening to this podcast, it's okay doing some of this work anyway, because it's important for you to recognize, what are your own love languages? How do you need to be told to you that someone loves you? So then that way, you also have more empathy too. So say somebody buys you gifts and you'd rather have somebody make you something. You'd rather have them make you a dinner because you like acts of service. Well, that's something to acknowledge, because in that way, eventually we can look at things that people do for us and really respect the love that they're trying to give us, so we can actually widely receive it by recognizing their gifts. It may not be our natural one, but being able to thank them and appreciate them in a really whole, beautiful way. Because by doing so, it's honoring ourselves. For all of you who've taken yoga before, there's a really great way that we end classes, and it's namaste. And what that means, and in terms of that, I think it's a really important thing to think about, because it's, yeah, the light in me honors the light in you, and I see the light in you. Thanks to the light in me, I can see the light in you. And I think that's really important, and by having tools such as our breath practice, eating healthy, being able to connect with our bodies through physical fitness, whether it be yoga practice, going to the gym, team sports, connecting with our community, being able to let ourselves fill up by doing workshops, making sure we have happy, healthy sexuality where it's not just about genital friction. It's about connecting to our bodies in a healthy, whole way, by connecting to our partners, by doing our homework and checking in and seeing what are our love languages, what are our partner's love languages, how do we honor all those people around us, because everybody has love languages. By doing that, we can honor and take care of all the people around us that we choose to. But as well as that, being able to do the things we need to do to nourish ourselves, to fill ourselves, and to honor ourselves. So whatever those things are, please think about it. Please take the time, because you are worth it. Life can be a really short journey. Other times it can be long. But really making sure that you take care of you. Because if you don't take care of you, our medical system's doing its best it can to take care of us. But there's only so much dollars in the system. And it really makes it a lot easier to do that when you take care of yourself. So thank you for joining us for tonight's edition of Sexy in Van City Radio 101.9 FM. We will be back next week at the sexy hour of 10 o'clock. Up next, I can hear click, clock, click, clock, is the wonderful Hans von Claus's Misery Hour. He's a very sexy man to be miserable with, and he will guide you through the wee hours with his awesome music and his super hot voice. You've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. We will be back next week at the sexy hour of 10 o'clock. Have a great night, everyone. Adios. And don't forget what I said. Take care of you. And I don't know if you can hear Marion in the background, but he's got a very sexy voice. You'll be hearing it very soon. Oh, he's saying smoking voice. Smoking hard. Smoking hot is more like it.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a great night.
Well, I stood at the top of a mountain, and I looked back down at all the people still climbing. Well, they weren't as high as me, but that's just how I see. And besides, they probably don't give two shits about me.
outside, but remember to tag them first for identification purposes. If any member of the family should die whilst in the shelter from contamination, put them outside, but remember to tag them first for identification purposes.
FM, CITR. That was Caroline doing everything by herself with Sexy in Van City.